One of the greatest principles in the Word of God is this, that our God blesses obedience.
Amen.
We cannot do what God would have us to do. We cannot do what God would have us to do and sin at the same time. Isn't that right? We cannot do it. And if we are even going to know what God wants us to do, we have to guard our hearts from hardening our hearts. We tend to think that we hear through our ears, and we do. When it comes to hearing God, we don't hear through our ears, do we? We hear in our heart.
Amen.
That's what the Scripture says. We're going to see that tonight. We hear through our heart. What the devil would like us to do is to say, you know what, God, I don't want to hear from you anymore. And thus we harden our heart. Our heart becomes seared to what God wants us to do. We want to be careful that we don't do that. Because if we get used to saying no to what God wants us to do, it's going to become harder and harder for us to begin to say yes again. It's a very dangerous thing to say no to God. It's a very dangerous thing. Because if we say no to God, it becomes easier for us to say no the next time. And if we continue to say no, there may come a time where we never even hear God say anything anymore. And I believe there are many Christians who never really hear of God saying, you know what, I'd like you to do this. And that is a great shame.
Amen.
One of the reasons why we need revival is because so many are like that. And you know what, if truth be told, there have been times that we were too.
Amen.
I praise God that we've got a God who can break up the fallow ground of our heart. And He can. But if He's going to do that, we have to feel sorrowful over the very idea that we've said no to God.
Amen.
If we've ever said no to God, it ought to be a sorrowful thing. We ought to be in grief that we've said no to God. And so may God help us as we look at a people who said no to God. Who said no to God, the consequences were great. You look there in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 is speaking of Moses and those Israelites who were wandering in the desert. If you look there, starting in verse 7, the Scripture says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Every single one of us are going to have times where we are tempted to sin. And we want to be very clear, if we are tempted, it does not mean that we have sinned. How do we know that? Well, there's several ways we know. But the single greatest way that we can know is that there's one who never sinned, who was tempted. And who's that?
Jesus.
Jesus. Did you know Jesus was tempted? He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil likes to tempt us. But what does it mean to tempt us? The word tempt means to give the suggestion to sin. To give the suggestion to say no to God in order to say yes to something else. By the way, when we say no to God, we always say yes to something else. Whether it's our own desires or the desires of someone else. Whenever we say no to God, we've not just said no to God, but we've said yes to something else. In James it says, if we know what it is we're supposed to do, we don't do it. For us, it is sin.
Amen.
Alright? And so sin is not only what we do, sometimes sin is what we don't do. And that's it's a dangerous thing to get to the place where we say no to God. Because when we are saying no to God, we're also saying yes to something else. By the way, sometimes we can say yes to things that aren't in what it is, a sin. Nobody would say, well, what you did was a sin. For example, you won't find in the Scriptures that it's a sin to watch TV. You won't find in the Scriptures it's a sin to watch TV. What will you find? You will find that if God would have us to pray, but instead we say, God, I'd rather not pray, I'm going to watch TV, then it is a sin.
Amen.
And so what the devil likes to do is this. He likes to take legitimate needs and give us the suggestion to fulfill those needs in an illegitimate way. Here's a legitimate need. For example, how many of us need rest? How many of us need rest? I can go to sleep right now. Had a long day. But we need rest. There's no doubt about that. God made us to sleep, by the way. One of the great differences between God and man is that we have to sleep. One third of our day has to be taken up in sleep. In sleep. And if it's not taken up in sleep, it's taken up in some form of rest. Did you know that you can die from lack of sleep?
Amen.
There have been people who have died for not being able to sleep. But God's made us to have to sleep. And so, do we need to rest? Yeah. We get home after working all day and one of the things our body says is it's time to rest. Nothing wrong with that. It's time to rest. And so, in our normal day-to-day routine, we'll come home and after eating dinner and those types of things, we may sit back in our chair and begin to read a book or watch a TV show or certain things like that. But it may be that God says, why don't you talk to your wife? I'm sorry, I saw that. One of the things that I often forget is that a lot of times the conversation that my wife gets to have all day is with a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. As stimulating as that is, not always everything that she wants. And so I get home sometimes, and I get home almost all the time, and I'm ready to rest and eat dinner and sit back. And my wife will start talking to me, and I'll be watching the show, and she'll say, did you hear what I said? I said, what'd you say? And you know what I mean. But I tell you what, there are times when we have to say, you know what? It's time for me to talk to my wife and not continue to watch the television, but to turn it off and to listen. And I'm sorry, my wife, for not doing that as much as I should.
Amen.
God can speak to our heart and say, it's time to do something. And we need to be willing to say, you know what? I'm going to stop doing what I want to do in order to do what God wants me to do. And so the devil's very crafty. I could do this. I could say, wife, is it wrong for me to want to watch TV when I get home? She said, well, I don't think so. I couldn't find it in the Bible, right? She couldn't go to the Bible and say it's wrong for me to do that. But for me to know what to do and not do it, for me it's sin. And so we ought to be careful of those things. You take a young man who wants a wife. Do you know the Scripture says that a young man's not to seek after a wife? It's a hard thing for some young men to do. Seek not a wife. What does that mean? It means you let God determine who's going to be your partner. That's what that means. Is it wrong for a man to want to be married? No. You won't find in the Scripture it's wrong for a man to be married. But the devil's crafty. And he'll put it within the heart of a man to start seeking a wife, going after whatever girl seems to have any interest in him. Dangerous things happen. The devil will take a legitimate need of marital companionship, a legitimate need, and he will help us to have some ideas of how to take care of that illegitimate thing. And the young man who says, you know what, I don't care what God says, and he begins to say no to one girl after another, after another, after another, eventually that young man will not only say no to God in those things, but will say no to God in everything. There have been many good young men who have been taken down by that one thing. By the time they're 20 years old, you don't see them in church anymore. Why? Here's why. Because we harden our hearts. I want you to notice there. The Scripture does not say, do not let the devil harden your heart. That's not what it says. It does not say, don't let the devil harden your heart. What does it say? Harden not your heart. In other words, who's the one who hardens? Who's the one that hardens our hearts? We are. We're the ones. Why? What does that mean? What does it mean that we harden our hearts? Look at what it says. Wherefore the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice. Whose voice? God's. Harden not your heart. In other words, we don't hear from God through our ears. We hear from God through our
hearts.
And if our heart is hard, will we hear? Can we hear? No. It'd be like if we don't want to listen to our wife, we put our hands on our ears and we go, la, 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 la. Right? Because I didn't hear you. Why would I do that? Why would I do that to my wife? Because I don't want to hear what she has to say. And so if we hear from God and we don't like what He has to say, and so because we don't like what He has to say, we say, no, God, I'm sorry, no. Is God going to stop saying it? Is God going to give in and say, you know what? He's not going to listen. Is God going to give up on us?
No.
No. One of the greatest promises in all the Scripture, Philippians 1:6. Wonderful verse. God will work in us until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will work. And so God's not going to stop saying, talk. He's not going to stop saying, listen, I want you to start doing this. I want you to start doing these certain things. I want you to start reading the Scripture. I want you to start praying. I want you to start doing these certain things in your family. I want you to start making sure your children know what the Scripture says. And I want you to start doing it. And He won't bombard us with all everything all at once, but He's going to speak. You say, you know what? I don't want to do that. God, I don't want to do that. And so one night, He says, I'd like you to do this. We say, no. The next night, do you think He's going to... For example, if dad... By the way, should daddies teach their children the Scripture?
Yeah.
And so one Monday night, the day after church, God in church says, all right, daddy, it's time for you to start teaching the Bible. Monday evening comes. The kids have gotten ready for bed. And God says, all right, here's your chance. He said, oh, God, it's been a long day. I think I'm gonna skip this one. Is God going to say on Tuesday, all right, forget the whole thing? Is He going to say that?
No.
And so on Tuesday, what do you think God's going to say? All right, here's your chance. I want you to start teaching your children. Get them, pray with them. And for 5 minutes, teach them something. I taught you something, you teach them that. You say, I'm sorry, God, I'm not doing that today. I've got better things to do. On Wednesday, you think He's going to stop? You think He's going to say, you know what, I'm giving up on the whole idea. These kids, they're just not going to have a chance to do that. I'm sorry, I'm done with this. I'm sick of this. Do you think God's going to say that? No, so He's going to keep going. And so what are we going to do? We're going to harden our hearts. When we get sick of God saying it, we'll say, all right, I'm hardening my heart. And then when God says it, what does it say? It says, today, if you will, hear Him, harden not your heart. And so once we say, God, I'm sick of hearing this, I'm not listening anymore, what are we going to do? We're going to harden our hearts. We're going to block our ears to God. We're going to block the ear of our heart to God. And that's a very bad thing for a Christian to do. Because if we're not willing to do what God wants us to do in those things, He's not going to move on to other things. He's not going to say, all right, I guess we're just not going to make any progress there. Let's move on to something bigger. Is He going to do that? And so what happens to the Christian in his growth? He stops. What happens to the Christian in his usefulness or her usefulness? It becomes nil. You begin to say no to God. It's a very bad thing. Very bad thing. Look there in verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Who is grieved in verse 10? Who's grieved? God's grieved, right? God feels grief. God feels grief. By the way, does God feel grief? And who gives Him grief?
Us.
We do. How do we give Him grief?
By not listening.
By not listening. Right? Which one gives the grief to their parents more? Which brings more grief? A child doing something that they didn't know they shouldn't do? Or a child who does something that they know they shouldn't do? Which one brings more grief? The second one, because the first one is teachable, isn't it? We say, no, sir, I don't want you doing that anymore. I don't want you doing that anymore. The other day, Riley decided he was going to go all the way to the back over here. And we told him you need to stay over here where we can see you. Well, he wanted to get adventurous and go back there. Well, we started calling out to him, looking for him all over here. Then we started walking up this side of the building. Of course, which way did Riley start coming? Up here, right? And so now we're freaking out. Because my wife, she'd already gotten nervous because some electrical guys from Michigan were over here. I would say hi to them. They seemed like nice guys. But now she's figuring one of them got them. I start looking in the van and all that. We were in grief. We had grief with Riley. He said, Riley, you're just not going to be able to play outside anymore. See how long that lasts with a boy like Riley. But we had told him, we want you to play out here so we can see you. 10 minutes after, we checked on him. We couldn't see him anywhere. And there was grief. Now, if we had said, yeah, just go out and play, and he wouldn't play anywhere he wanted to, And we couldn't find him. When we finally did find him, we might say, listen, Riley, from now on, I want you to play where we can see you. But he already knew that. He already knew that. And so there was grief. By the way, the grief gets more serious the older a person gets. For a Christian, the grief gets more serious the more we've grown in the Lord. Think about the situation that Moses and these folks were in. All these folks, they caused grief to God. I mean, there was a point where they said, listen, we'd like to go back to Egypt because they've got onions. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Amen.
Right? Why in the world would you want to go somewhere because they have onions? Well, that's what they said. We want to, they've got onions. That caused grief to God. But you know what caused grief, more grief to God? God said, Moses, I want you to go and speak to God. Moses went down, saw the folks doing what they shouldn't do, so he took his stick and struck the rock. No water came out. He struck it again in his anger. The meekest man the world's ever known. struck out with anger. The water flowed. God took him up to the mountain and said, "You'll never go into the promised land. You'll never go." Which one caused more grief? I mean, these Israelites, they want to go back to Egypt for bondage. Moses struck a rock twice. But which one caused God more grief? The more we grow in the Lord, we begin to say no to God. It causes God grief. It causes God grief. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How can we grieve the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit speaks. And we say, no. That's how grief comes to the Holy Spirit. It's not just that we go out and do some great sin. The grief comes because we say no to Him. Why would we say no to the Holy Spirit? Because we want to say yes to something else. That's what it is. We say, "No, Holy Spirit, I want to do this. I want to do this." And so turn back to Hebrews 3, and I want you to notice what it says at the very end of the chapter. Speaking about entering into the rest of God for these Israelites, the promised land, for us, the blessing that He gives. It says in verse 19, "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief." In other words, a lack of faith. Why do we say no to God? Because we do not believe God. Who do we believe? We believe the devil. We believe, yes, well, what the devil's got for me is better than what God has for me. But which one was better?
God.
Which one was better for these Israelites? They could have gotten from the Red Sea to the Promised Land in just weeks. But you know what? We often say they got there in 40 years. You know what the truth is? They never got there.
Amen.
Only two did. Only two got there. Out of the whole lot, only two did. They didn't get there in 40 years. They did not get there, except for those two. Why? Because they did not believe. Because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. Brethren, there are blessings untold. But we have to believe that what God says is true. What is going to help us to say no to the devil and say yes to the Holy Spirit? The promises of God. And if we believe those promises, we will be compelled to say yes. But if we don't believe them, we will say yes to the devil. Isn't that right? We'll say yes to the devil. Oh, may God help us. To be willing and to understand that God is great. And God is good. That what He wants us to do is not bad, but for our own good. And if we do what God wants us to do, what He can do is so great. Let's close with this. You may be there and you say, "I've grieved the Lord, and my heart is hard." What do you do? What do you do? The medicine for a hard heart, the medicine for a hard heart is godly sorrow. Godly sorrow. In other words, we literally feel bad that we've said no. We say, "God, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" I remember I'd been at Nayo for some time, It was a rainy day. I was in Arctic in West Warwick. How many know Arctic in West Warwick? They got a bench just outside the Catholic Church over there where folks gather and they sit and they talk. And they're not always the prettiest of people, but there they are. And I had parked on the side because I had gone to one of the shops down there or something. I can't remember. But I had gotten back in after it had been raining, and for some reason they were out there sitting on the bench, and it's just what they do every day, and so it doesn't matter what's happening, they just go sit there. And it wasn't raining too hard, but it was enough to make me say, I want to get home. It's time to get home. And God said, why don't you go talk to those folks? Why don't you go talk to those folks? I said, well, God, it's raining, don't you know that? I said, God, can I go talk to them another day? I mean, they'll be there tomorrow. And I got my car and drove off and went back home. About halfway home, I said, why don't you go back? I said, why don't you go back? Again, God is speaking. Why don't you go back? I said, no, I'm not going to turn around now. I'm on my way. And I didn't. I didn't turn back. And I remember being so desperately sorry that night that I didn't go back. In fact, I still remember. I still remember that I said no to God. There's been other times I've said no to God for different things, but I remember that. I'll tell you what, I didn't want to be in that situation again. Or I had said no to God. I didn't know what I might say, but God could have told me what to say. And they were a little strange in the way they dressed, and the way they looked, and the way they shaved their beard. But that's okay. And God taught me some things there. Taught me the medicine for a hard heart. To be sorry. The word sorry means to feel sorrow. When quoted scripture, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Good verse to know. Brethren, if there's a wicked way in you, it is this. That we have a tendency to say no to God, or to say yes to something else. And a hard heart never feels bad about it. But a heart that's being softened says, you know what? I don't feel good about this. Lord, I'm sorry for saying no to you about that. I'm sorry for saying no to you about that. Forgive me, I don't want to say no to you. Lord, brace it up. It's good. If you brace it up, you begin to say yes to me. May God help us to do that. Amen, brother?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we pray and ask that you'd watch over us. You know who we are. You know how we're made. You know that we're weak. You know that we give in to temptation because of weakness. We also sin because we want to. We say no to you because we'd rather do something else. I pray, Father, that you would give us a soft heart. Sorrowful. And saying no to you. Father, may we come to you and receive the forgiveness that only you can give. That we may begin to hear from you again. Speak to each one of us tonight in a very special way. I ask you, Father, I pray that you would ask us to do something tonight or tomorrow. To give us a chance to say yes. To give us an opportunity to resist the devil and say yes. Please, Father.